back to the story of the Stardust Fire and the families of the 48 unlawfully killed, their four decades plus long campaign for the truth to emerge. The inquest verdicts last week that they were unlawfully killed, and then the Taoiseach's apology on behalf of the state for failing them. The Stardust Campaign for Justice is the latest in a long line of campaigns across Ireland and Britain, campaigns which have spent years fighting the Irish and British states to recognise their wrong, accept responsibility and validate the rights of those who suffered. Hillsborough, Bloody Sunday, Ballymurphy, mother and baby institutions, Magdalen laundries, the ongoing campaign by those affected by the post office scandal in the UK. Why does it take so long? We are joined now by Professor Phil Scraton from the School of Law at Queen's University Belfast. He led the Hillsborough Independent Panel's research team and is author of Hillsborough, The Truth. And Professor Scraton, you are very welcome to Morning Ireland. You are also involved in the mother and baby institutions, the Magdalen laundries and workhouses in the north as well. Can what has happened over the past week for the Stardust campaign be described as justice if it comes 43 years later?
Well, I think we use a phrase, justice delayed is justice denied. And that phrase really means, as you will only be too well aware, that when you are dealing with delayed justice generations on after a tragedy, then those who were directly affected by that tragedy on the days and in the weeks afterwards, many of those have passed. They never lived to see justice. So in one sense, although it is seen this week as a victory, it is only a victory in the sense that people have had to fight against the state in order to get to this stage, knowing all along the truth. And I think that one of the problems that concerns me over Stardust is that the failure of the initial inquests was that they lasted for 5 days, and that's all. And it was just a detail of who, when, where, but not how they died. Mm. That was left to a judge-led public inquiry, and that seriously failed the families, because although he pointed the finger at the owner, etc., of Stardust, he made the point that, which was no more than conjecture, that the object of the arsonists was to do no more than cause a fire in the alcove itself. Now, the point of that is that he showed, demonstrated right from the outset, that his interpretation of what happened was arson. Mm-hmm. And that coloured the whole issue from that moment onwards. And I think that's exactly a parallel with Hillsborough, that in Hillsborough it was mooted by the police, by the authorities, that the fans had caused the disaster. That coloured the investigation from there on in.
Well, where does that instinct to blame the victims come from?
I don't think it's an instinct. I think it's a protection. It's a protection of the state. In the case of Hillsborough, in terms of the policing of Hillsborough, it's in terms of the protection of those in authority, and then the failure of the inquiry. So what is being protected afterwards is not instinctive. What is being protected is Justice Keane's conclusions. And it took until 2019 before the Attorney General stated there had been insufficiency of inquiry, accepting that the inquiry had been wrong, but then stated, remarkably, that in the public interest, it was not in the interests of the public and not in the interests of justice to reopen the inquest. Now, that looks incredible now when we look back at it, because that was in 2019. Then we have the coroner, Mary Cullinan, and she then picks up the baton and makes it clear that the inquiry into the broader circumstances, the pathological cause of death, cause of the fire, condition of the premises, are all going to be reopened. And that's when the inquest comes into its strength. Mm-hmm. But what concerned me about the inquest verdict was the lack of a narrative that came at the end. I feel that it was really important, obviously, and it is to some extent a clear victory for the families that they have the verdict they have sought on lawful killing. But one of the things that concerns me is that there were no riders added to mm-hmm. the verdict which demonstrate the detail of that unlawful killing.
Professor Scraton, I want to ask you about class, because it is said repeatedly when we talk about disasters or scandals or things that have happened that have caused grave harm to individuals, whether it's Hillsborough, Bloody Sunday, Ballymurphy, the mother and baby institutions, the Stardust, that these are all working class communities perceived as powerless, and that if it happened in a middle class community or to a middle class community, they would not have to wait 30, 40 years to get truth and justice. Is there any truth in that?
Well, while that seems a simple equation, and a lot of people would dismiss it as being simplistic, there is a more than a grain of truth in this. There is no question in my mind that dealing with the victims of Hillsborough football supporters, soccer-related hooliganism was high on the agenda at the time. Dealing with young people, not just issues of class in our town, but dealing with young people, that it would be seen as acceptable that they would misbehave, that they would damage their own their own venue. That was easily explained in terms of how we do view communities. And there is no question in my mind that the way we view communities through the law, the way we view communities in terms of interpreting the law, is about class, it's about age, it's about how we assume people behave. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that we've been really keen to develop for the Irish Council of Civil Liberties in 2021, we compiled a report on death investigation and inquests and the rights of the bereaved. I researched and co-wrote that, and we made 52 substantial recommendations. One of them was a 7-point charter for the bereaved. Had that charter been in place, then the issues of class, the issues of age, would have been eradicated, because what we'd have been looking at were the details of the event rather than the reputation of the people. We made 17 substantial recommendations to protect the rights of bereaved families. We presented that to the Irish government, and they said, oh yes, we will deal with it, but it's not one of our highest priorities at the moment. And that in itself demonstrates how we marginalize those people who are most vulnerable in these situations.
And just briefly and finally, it's the power of the collective. Individuals may find it hard to campaign for truth and justice, but as a collective, they're a powerful force.
There is no question. All of the issues that I've dealt with, Marchioness, Dunblane, Hillsborough, now the issue of Stardust, the power of the collective has been absolutely essential. But that collective power needs to be developed in terms of the law itself. In other words, those who are involved in representing their best interests. And that happened this time. Yeah. There is no question that those voices were shouted. Those voices shouted loud, and they were heard. But at the end of it all, what I would have wanted to have seen was a set of riders that actually developed the verdict into a more formula of responsibility for that event.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us, Professor Phil Scraton from the School of Law at Queen's University, who led the Hillsborough Independent Panel's research team and has been involved in many other campaigns for justice.